Well, good morning, Lakeview. Y'all doing good? Everybody okay? There's a great divide right here. Have y'all noticed that? I mean, it goes 2/3 of the way back, and then there's a pocket over here, and there's one over here, and a little bit over there, and then in the back. Wouldn't that be great if that was all filled up with people? I'm telling you, it's going to happen. I don't know how many of you know anything about me. Bob's right. We've sort of worked together over the years. But Cheryl and I have come to love this church. And we pray for you. And we live 150 miles away. But I've kept up and we pray for you. And so I'm excited about what God has in the future. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here today. How many of you are like me? You've got a lot of religious language in your vocabulary. The language of Zion doesn't mean anything. Those outside our culture and context can't understand it. They don't have a clue what we're talking about. I read some stuff on Facebook the other day, and you can read anything on Facebook, so don't believe it, okay? And I read on there, a friend of mine said, God moved this morning. Well, I didn't want to embarrass him, so I waited a few hours, and I put on there, I often hear the phrase, and I've used it myself, God moved. I said, where, Toledo? Well, that engaged some discussion, but in my heart, it began to engage, what is this thing? Because you see, I've been in prayer ministry since the 90s. And served in that role in many places and been in churches and written prayer material, led prayer conferences and things like that. And we're always talking about the Great Awakening, the next one to come. We're talking about the past awakenings. We're talking about when God does something supernatural. And I began to look and see what it meant biblically for God to move. I want you to look with me and see a picture of that in Luke chapter 2, in the second chapter of Luke's gospel. And we'll read for just a moment, and then I want us to explore this and sort of dig deep in it and see what God might say to us today, and specifically to say to this church. Because I want to say to you that in just a few moments, I'm going to call you to prayer. And it's not going to be a little mamby-pamby. If you love motherhood, if you love America, if you want to see the best for everybody, come and pray. But it's going to be the kind of call to prayer that says we're going to get on our knees or we're going to sit on these front pews and we're going to personally and corporately do business with God. And it's happened all through Scripture. And one of the great men of the Bible was Simeon in Luke chapter 2 in verse 25. The Bible says there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace as you promised, for my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Wow, a move of God. In the New International Version, the older one, I've got several copies of the 78 and 84 in those, and it may be in the 2011 edition, I don't know. But in the ones that I have, it talks about Simeon moved by the Spirit. That word is such a word in the text of the New Testament in the Greek language that it takes three or four synonyms to really define it. Guided is one way. Moved is another way. And here's this man, Simeon. We don't know very much about him except what's in this passage. But he was at a point in his life when he was serving God and he was waiting for God to fulfill his promise to him. Now, I want to say to us at the outset of this message that we not forget it. All of the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus. Every promise of God finds its fulfillment in the person of Jesus. But Simeon is pre-Jesus. He's in that portion that we have in our Bibles called the Old Covenant. And he's living under the law of Moses and guided by that. And temple worship was the way that they met God and the way they worshiped in those days. And so when you see that passage, moved by the Spirit, here is a movement of God. And as I studied Scripture in preparing for this message today, and I've studied and I've read and I've prayed, and yesterday I was sitting in the hotel room just looking at notes. Cheryl said, "What's wrong?" I said, I can't get this together. But I want to tell you, God did something during the night, and this morning it's together. I want you to notice something about when God moves. Because we call a lot of things the movement of God. But when God moves, he brings people into a place. There's a place in this passage. It's twofold in Simeon's life. One, Simeon was moved by the Spirit into the temple. The temple was the location that God was also moving Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And they could not meet anywhere else except at the temple because the rite of purification was something that came out of Leviticus 12. And it was when a woman had had a baby that she had to be away from the temple for so long. And I found out in studying that passage that a lot of the purification rites in the Bible were not about purifying the person. They were about purifying the place of worship. That's why they had the purification rites, so that that person could go back into that temple after these things had happened that had caused a flow of blood and other things like that. And all that God had in mind, I don't know, but I've learned that much. There was a place. Not only was there a physical place, but there was a spiritual place. Look at what the Bible says about Simeon. The Holy Spirit was on him. Here was a man controlled, led by the Holy Spirit. His steps were in obedience to the Holy Spirit. And when God moves, he's going to move you and I into a place, not only spiritually, but physically. I want you to see that God does more than just move us into a place. He has purpose. He has purpose for your life. He has purpose for this church. He has purpose for his moving and what he might do in that. And that purpose is that the manifestation of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ would be there. Look at what he says. "For my eyes have seen your salvation," in verse 30. "You have prepared it in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation to Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." You see, everything that God had said he would do, he was going to do in the person of Jesus Christ. And you've got the whole outline there. They were in a place where the purpose of God was being manifest, and it was all wrapped around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every move of God is wrapped around the person of Jesus Christ. It is not wrapped around denomination. It is not wrapped around doctrine. It is not wrapped around a certain group or a certain doctrine in Scripture. Every move of God is wrapped around the central person of Jesus Christ. And he fulfills his promise in Jesus. There was purpose. The purpose was redemption. The purpose was salvation. Do you know why you're in this room tonight? Today, rather? Forgive me, we had grandchildren for a week. We went to the Southern Baptist Convention, which was 2-hour different time zone. Friday morning, I had meetings in Austin until 10 p.m. I got up at 3:30 a.m. Friday morning. Why am I wide awake? Time zone. Mess with me. So day, night, I don't know, but I do know it's today. But do you know why you're here? I know why I'm here. You're here because God has purpose for your life. You didn't walk into this in a vacuum. You didn't walk into this room just to sit and do the religious thing on Sunday morning where everything begins to happen and we just sort of wrap ourselves around it and we go home and we've done church and now we're going to do the lake and picnic and Father's Day. We're going to do all of the obligatory stuff and some of it we're really going to enjoy. And then we're going to go on with our week as if Sunday never occurred. No. You're here because God loves you. God, by His Spirit, drew you, brought you into this place, and brought you into a place where you could encounter the Lord Jesus Christ and find in your all, in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of every aspect you have, that all of the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus. God brought you. How will you respond to Him? What will you do when the Holy Spirit speaks to you inside? There was purpose. And that purpose is all wrapped around redemption, salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the fulfillment of the promise of God. Now, Simeon saw all of this. But you know something about Simeon? Even though he saw it, even though he said, Lord, let your servant, I'm ready to go home, Lord. I've seen what you promised me. I'm ready to go. There was more than even Simeon saw. Because he was a part of a system that was waiting for the consolation or the Messiah of Israel. And almost every Jewish person thought this Messiah would be a political Messiah and would lead them to freedom from Roman tyranny. Almost every one of them. Their mind was twisted when they saw whom Simeon saw and then went on to heaven shortly thereafter as a baby in his mother's arms. A part of the purification rites. But what Simeon perhaps did not see, and what you and I look back and see, is that this Jesus was going to serve for 30 years in obscurity for 30 years. And then he would have 3 years of open ministry in which dead were raised, sick were healed, blind eyes were opened. The people they regarded as the sinful of the sinners were forgiven and restored. Pharisees were challenged. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Your religion and your service in the Sanhedrin will not get you to heaven. You must be born again. Let me ask you, have you been born again? You've served faithfully in churches for years, but have you been born again? And for those 3 years, Jesus did that, and then he was taken to the cross by those religious leaders, affirmed by the Roman government, and he was crucified. And they said, that's over with. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And his followers followed him, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and rather than being on them as he was with Simeon, he was in them and dwells permanently in everyone who has been born again, who has trusted the Lord Jesus as Lord and Master. Now, in 21st century church, we're trying hard to see a move of God. So we change stuff. And don't hear me saying change is wrong. I'm not saying that at all. That's not what I'm saying. We change platforms. We change the furniture. We change the worship style. We change our dress. First time I came here, I wore a tie, sweated like a pig. So air conditioning is providing a cool breeze, much different. Some change is really good. I'm not criticizing change. But that's not why Christ came. He didn't come to just shift things. Everything the Bible talks about in a move of God, and this is the mark of a move of God, there is spiritual transformation. And I want to talk to you for a moment about that word transformation. It has to do with movement. It has to do with becoming something that you've never been. If you've never been born again and you meet Jesus and he brings new life to your life, you're what Paul said when he said, we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away and the new has come. It's how I know that I was saved as a young adult and not as an 11-year-old. I walked down an aisle at 11 years of age. I was scared to death. The preacher preached on hell, and that's where I was going, and I didn't want to go to hell. But I didn't know how to connect with Jesus. But I was baptized. My baptism was better than a whole lot of people's because it was in the lake. And I grew. And every time the Spirit of God would do something, speak to me, I would be convicted at an invitation when I would hear a message. And I wanted to play baseball. I learned to do everything like Mickey Mantle, but hit. And that's why I didn't, and he did. But when I came to the point in my life to when I really knew I was a sinner, that those things I was doing and enjoying and loving my sin and steeped in my sin and far from God, but a head full of knowledge about who Jesus is. My parents were godly people. They raised me in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I realized one day that I didn't know my condition with God. And I remember coming forward, and the pastor didn't help me. There were other people behind me, and he looked at me and said, well, sit down, and I'll talk to you later. And I sat down, and a few minutes later, somebody came. They hand me a card to fill out like you've got up here on the pew, and I looked at all those blanks. I had no clue what they meant. Raised in church, but far from God. I remember bowing my head and praying, Jesus, I don't know anything about the past, but from this day forward, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to tell you how I know I was born again. My want to has changed. My lifestyle changed. Wasn't perfect then, not perfect now. But I had a new direction. Something happened in me that transformed me. I just use the word change, but everything was transformed. Things we used to do all the time, I had no desire for. My wife and I used to go to parties, and we'd party with the best of them, and she'd drive me home, and we went to this party after Christ had come into my life, and I was offered an alcoholic beverage, and I said, no, thank you. I said, how about a Coca-Cola? I never one time preached. But that was the last party we were invited to. Last one. See, when you're a new creation in Christ, there's transformation that takes place. If you're the same thing you've always been, you've never been born again. A move of God results in transformation. You see it all the way through Scripture. You see it so many times. When God moved, the Holy Spirit says, again in the NIV, it's translated and it's the same in every translation, but it says the Spirit moved, hovered over the deep. And God said, let there be. And you can read the 6 days of creation. Something became that had never been. There was transformation. And that's what we need in our lives. Pardon me. God moved here in the temple. You see, moving in that place of worship again in chapter 2. At the end of the chapter, when Jesus comes back at 12 years of age and says to his mother and his earthly father, Joseph, do you not know I must be in my Father's house? He moved again the last week of Jesus' life when he walked in the temple and he cast out those that sold money. He cast out those that exchanged money and those that sold animals for sacrifice because they had taken a part of the temple that only the Gentiles could come in to worship. And he kicked them out and he said these words, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. Everybody can come to God. That's transformation. But on the day of Pentecost, there was even greater transformation when God moved. And that old covenant under the law that had been done away with at the cross, Paul tells us in Galatians, and whoever wrote Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 9. And we have a new covenant in Christ where Jew and Gentile are placed into the same body. The whole creation has been transformed by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are no longer two, we identify naturally as ethnicities. Yes, there's Jew. Yes, there's Gentile. Yes, there's the different races. But in Christ, we are one. That's transformation. That's a move of God. And when you see people coming to Christ, and a black man or an Asian man or woman or Hispanic, and Anglo, and whatever you have out here, and however you justify that, that is the transforming work of the Spirit of God because of what Jesus did on the cross and resurrection. Now, in parts of this world, where people like you can't meet like people like you and I meet now. They meet secretly. And they pray. And you don't read this in the United States, but you read about it from Christians in the Middle Eastern countries that are closed to the gospel. Some man of another religion will have a dream about Jesus. They'll seek out a Christian that they know. And they'll ask about Jesus. And they'll trust Jesus. Let me tell you something, folks. The moving of God in our world today is not about a platform. Jesus did not come to establish a platform so that preachers could have an audience. He came to establish a pipeline so that his gospel and the hopefulness of what he did at the cross and the answer to our human and spiritual dilemmas can be found in him. And that pipeline can go underground, overground, in the air, wherever we can take the gospel flows through relationships. That's the pipeline Jesus came to establish. And that's how he's moving today. and it results in transformation. Transformation. The church was formed. This thing we call church. And I love it when I come here and see different races. That's God. That's God. From every tribe, every people group, every kindred, gathered, we see it in the book of Revelation in heaven, praising the Lord Jesus Christ, praising God our Father, and it all happens because down here in that pipeline that Jesus created on the day of Pentecost by the Spirit through relationships, taking the good news of Jesus Christ to every person in the world, people come to know Him. We are one in Him, and in Him we are led by His Spirit. That's a move of God. That's how God moves. And today, we are to be intercessors. We are to be intercessors. Jesus, our great high priest, ascended into heaven. The Bible says, makes intercession for us. Isaiah 53:12 refers to him as an intercessor. An intercessor goes between. When Paul wrote the Roman letter in chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, he talks about us being here, God being in heaven, and the Holy Spirit bringing the will of God to us and taking our requests back to God. And God, by his Spirit, moves us into alignment with himself, that there might be a movement of God in Lakeview Baptist Church, that this church and you and I might be transformed into the image of Christ. Are you ready? Are you ready for God to move? Are you ready to bring all that you are and come to an altar, a place of prayer, and lay it down at the feet of Jesus and say, here are my desires. Here's everything I want. God, I want what you want. I give you my life. I give you my life. I give you my church. More than anything else, I want to be in place. I want to be a part of your purpose. I want to magnify the person of Jesus. And God, as best as I know how, I'm going to step out and act on every promise that you've given me in your word. Are you ready for that? I'm going to ask you to do it. I want Bob and our team to come, and we're going to sing a very simple song that you'll know. I'm going to ask you to stand, and if that's your heart, you're saying, God, we want you to move at Lakeview Baptist Church, and we want the result to be transformation dictated by the Holy Spirit, then I'm bringing my part as part of the body, and I'm laying it at your feet. That might mean repentance of sin. Maybe you're one of those persons that just think it ought to happen your way. Have you ever considered that might be the hindrance to the moving of God, our self-will? As God speaks to your heart, you come in a moment. There are those of you that maybe have never been born again. I want you to come. We're going to have a staff member right here at the front to greet you. He won't be praying. He'll be waiting for you. But others of you, come and pray. Let this be a time when God speaks to your heart. There may be those that need to join this church. You're saved. You need to join. You come. You let that staff member know. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray. We believe your promise and put ourselves in the place of your moving by repenting and surrendering to you. And we magnify Jesus and fulfill your purpose. Lord, transform us, transform this church into the image of Christ. In Jesus' name.